Support for The Common comes from Davis Malm. Their tax attorneys take the time to understand your unique goals and find the most cost-effective ways to accomplish them, distilling complex tax laws down to clear choices so you can make the best decisions. DavisMalm.com. DavisMalm.com.
Hey, it's Daryl C. Murphy, and I just want to talk to you real quick. The Common is produced at WBUR in Boston. We're public media. We don't have paywalls, which means we don't ask you to pay to see our work. We say, here's some powerful stories for free. And then, if some of those stories you read or listen to are important to you and you talk about it with your friends and family, and you even see the world a little differently, then we ask you to support it. Because we want to continue making work that is meaningful to you. And right now, I want to let you know what's happening at WBUR. Our radio shows, our podcasts are getting some of the biggest audiences we've ever had. Our journalism is winning awards, reaching new and more diverse audiences. And you are a big part of that. Our journalism has never been stronger, but the business has never been harder. We've had a big loss of sponsorship dollars, like a lot of media companies have in recent years. But one thing we've always been pretty good at is getting support from our listeners to make the things they love. So we're asking right now, in a crucial moment for WBUR, can you help us get through this by joining other listeners in supporting WBUR? We need your help to keep making the podcast you're listening to right now, along with everything else that comes from WBUR. Your help would mean a lot to me and to all of my colleagues. So please, head to our website, WBUR.org. Thanks.
WBUR Podcasts, Boston.
I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and you're listening to The Common. Emma Platoff, Boston Globe politics reporter. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Just let me know, how's the beat treating you these days?
It's been busy, I can't lie, but it's a really interesting time to be covering the city of Boston. I will say if everyone on my beat could get a little bit less interesting and give me a little bit of a break, that would be fine as well.
Mayor Michelle Wu is not trying to hear that.
Certainly not this week.
So because, you know, she has a plan to introduce a proposal for rent control. And, you know, I'm still pretty new here. It's been over a year, but I still consider myself new. I understand that rent control is a very big deal for the city of Boston. So can you briefly tell us what is in this proposal?
Rent control is a huge deal here. This is expected to be a really big political fight. And what's interesting to me about that is that it's already in place in some of the most expensive cities in the country. Mm-hmm. You're new to Boston, but I'm sure you've noticed that it's a very expensive rental market.
Oh, yeah.
And most of the other U.S. cities that are that expensive have some kind of rent control in place. So Los Angeles, San Francisco, New York. We always knew Michelle Wu was going to propose some form of rent control. This was a big issue for her during her mayoral campaign in 2021. And the question since she took office has just been, what is it going to look like? What are the specifics of the proposal? So a colleague and I at The Globe found out last week and reported her proposal, which is still in draft form and could still change, would tie allowable rent increases to inflation. So basically, in a high inflation year, your landlord can raise your rent more than in a low inflation year, which makes sense, with an overall cap of 10%. So even in a really high inflation year, like 2022, your rent could never go up year over year more than 10%. And in most years, it would be less than that. The exact formula for the nerds among us is CPI, Consumer Price Index, which is a measure of inflation, plus 6%. So CPI plus 6, in a typical inflation year of 2%, you're looking at an 8% year-over-year increase on your rent.
That still sounds like a lot.
That's certainly what a lot of people are saying. You know, if you are in an apartment that's $2,000 per month, I'm getting myself into trouble by promising quick math here, but, you know, 10% on $2,000 is $2,200. That's a significant increase. Of course, these are allowable caps, right? Your landlord could always be kind of generous and say, I'm not going to increase your rent at all, or I'm going to increase your rent less than that. But this is what the city would like to impose as a maximum. And importantly, there's a number of things that would be carved out of the program under the version of the proposal that the mayor is looking at right now. So new construction would be exempt for the first 15 years it's open. So think of all those nice luxury high rises we see going up in the seaport. They would have 15 years before having to comply with this cap. And also small landlords. So if you own a triple decker in Dorchester and you live on the first floor, this is not something that would apply to you, at least under the current proposal.
Okay, how does this proposal compare to what we see in other places in the country? What does rent control look like in peer cities like San Francisco or New York, for example?
So this proposal looks a lot like the versions that we see imposed statewide in California and Oregon. It's a little bit more strict than the Oregon version, which is CPI plus 7, but there's no overall cap. So, for example, in Oregon this year, rents can go up nearly 15%, which is not something that would ever be allowed under what Mayor Wu has proposed. It is less strict than what we see in other major U.S. cities. In Washington, D.C., the formula is inflation plus 2. So we've spoke to some experts who said that this is one of the less strict rent control policies in the U.S. And I think what the mayor would say to that is this is just one tool that she's proposing as part of an overall plan to improve the region's housing crunch. And the idea behind rent control to her is to really get rid of those fringe cases of price gouging where your landlord is increasing your rent astronomically and really forcing people out of their homes.
Yeah, I've heard some horror stories for sure. How is this being received so far? What are you hearing from all the different sides on this issue?
This is a really tough issue for her politically. It's still early. We haven't even seen the proposal formally unveiled, but we're already seeing opposition for the mayor kind of on all sides. There are tenant advocates who say this proposal does not go far enough. We need to have much lower caps. There are folks on the business side who say any version of rent control is a bad idea for Boston. We should not be doing this policy at all. And of course, there's the two legislative bodies she'll need to sell on this pitch if she wants to make it into law. First is the Boston City Council, where we've seen some councilors already express some skepticism. And then if she makes it through that stage, the proposal will go to Beacon Hill, where we know that state lawmakers have long been very cold to the idea of rent control. And even just in the last week since she proposed it, powerful leaders on Beacon Hill, like House Speaker Ron Mariano, have said they have questions about it and certainly not sounding extremely eager to embrace it, at least at this stage.
Emma, I want to get messy here. You mentioned that Wu has to get past city councilors and the state legislators. Do we know if any of these elected officials might be landlords themselves?
I can't give you specific details or specific numbers. Certainly, there are elected officials who have, you know, personal vested interest in real estate. But I think perhaps even more importantly, we just know that real estate and the development world, especially in Boston, but really in the whole state, is a very powerful political influential group. So regardless of whether you are a landlord yourself or just someone who wants to get reelected, these are folks who are really hard to ignore if they're in your ear saying, this is going to be really bad, particularly now at a moment where really everyone at the city and state level is laser focused on housing as a critical issue.
And it's actually been banned in the state since 1994, right? That was the year where it was struck down through a ballot initiative. Can you give us some context about what happened there? What was the energy like at that time around rent control?
Absolutely. So in 1994, Massachusetts voters banned rent control statewide as a ballot initiative. It was actually a very close vote, something like 49 to 51%. Mm-hmm. What's interesting is at that time, rent control was only in place in a very few cities in the state. I think it was Boston, Cambridge, and Brookline. And in the places where rent control was actually in place, voters supported it. But overall, they weren't able to overcome the rest of the state who voted it down. So since that time, rent control has been illegal in the state of Massachusetts, which means that not only does the mayor need to sell the city council, but she needs to somehow get this past the state. Mm. The first step, the proposal she's undertaking now, would be to send it to Beacon Hill through what's called a home rule petition and ask lawmakers to approve it, sort of like they would approve any other law. But some of the people pushing rent control say if that doesn't work, there's another potential avenue in the 2024 ballot when they could try to put the issue to voters again. That's a really long, entangled, expensive process. So much more to be seen before that you know, even becomes relevant, but there's another potential lever there.
We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back.
A gruesome scandal at the nation's most prestigious university shines a light on a macabre and lucrative world of buying and selling human remains.
Human body parts taken by a manager at the Harvard Medical School morgue and then sold to customers online.
So my first skull is right there on the top shelf. That's my first and my favorite.
I'm reporter Allie Jarmani, and this story raises some tough questions. How should we treat the dead? And who gets to decide?
There should be some middle ground where we treat deceased tissues differently than we treat old refrigerators.
This is Postmortem, The Stolen Bodies of Harvard, a new season of WBUR's Last Scene. Listen and follow Last Scene wherever you get your podcasts.
And we are back. Do you have any sense of the attitudes around rent control now? Because I would imagine that the housing situation is much worse than it was in 1994.
Certainly, we're in a housing crunch in the whole state, but really particularly in the Boston region. And I think, interestingly, opponents to rent control sort of frame their criticism of it through that lens. So real estate developers say, we're short housing, you know, to a huge degree. Advocates say we need hundreds of thousands of more units of housing in the state of Massachusetts in the next decade. Mm-hmm. So folks in the real estate and the business world say, if you do anything that makes it harder to be a landlord, that, you know, reduces your profits at all, you're going to discourage people from building housing. And what we really need is for people to build housing. Mm. That's one argument. On the other side, or on another side, tenant advocates are saying, the real problem in housing is that people are being displaced. They're being forced out of their neighborhoods. They're not able to afford the astronomical rent increases. And they're having to leave the city where they've lived their whole lives and where their communities are and where they want to be. Mm. So the challenge for someone like Mayor Wu in this moment is to find a compromise that can get past kind of all these constituencies. And the tricky thing that she's learning right now is when you try to craft a good balance, a good compromise, you sort of end up not pleasing anyone.
Mm. Yeah, when I look at this plan and I think of some of the big points you hit, an annual 10% cap, a 15-year exemption for new developments, that does kind of sound like a compromise there. But I'm also curious to know, to the point of those who are skeptical about rent control, in cities like Washington, D.C. or San Francisco, where rent control is a thing, has there been an observable negative impact on housing development in those places because of such a policy?
I want to be careful because I haven't done like a totally comprehensive view of this. Every city is a little different. And I think what real estate developers in the Boston area would tell you is that it's really hard and really expensive to build here already. So the landscape is just a little different anywhere you look. But I'll tell you what we heard from one expert we spoke to. He's a professor at the University of Minnesota who specializes in this. And he told us, quote, there is no research out there that supports the contention that rent stabilization has killed the new construction market anywhere that it has existed. There is just no such evidence.
Mm. But with that, it sounds like this is definitely going to be an uphill battle for Michelle Wu. Tell me, what's at stake for her?
There's a lot at stake politically. This is a huge campaign promise for her. And she came into office as a really ambitious mayor, promising to do things that no Boston mayor had been able to do before.
Free transit, cheap rent.
Right. A lot of things that folks are really excited about. A lot of people voted for her for these things, right?
Yeah.
And now she's in the second year of her term. Her team is in place. It's sort of time for her to demonstrate whether she can do it. And I think that rent control is an issue that will really test her influence both at the city level and at the state level. So that's important for her politically. Probably more important, right, is the stakes for her constituents who are desperate for housing. People are really struggling to stay in their homes. Rents are rising. Home ownership is really difficult in this state. And so regardless of where you fall on this issue, getting it right on housing policy, both at the city level and at the state level right now, is crucial for renters, for homeowners, for everyone.
Tomorrow is Mayor Wu's State of the City address. Will you be looking out for any updates on her rent control plan?
Absolutely. I think it's fair to say we can expect her to talk about housing. We can expect her to talk about some of the more ambitious big picture plans. I think we can expect to hear about her Green New Deal for the city of Boston. We can expect to hear about equitable growth. What I'll be watching for is how much more detail do we get on things like rent control, on specific housing policy. It's her biggest speech of the year, probably, and it's a really big platform for her to be talking about these things. A lot of people will be listening. So I'm interested in what she wants to say.
Understood. Emma, thank you so much for this. This has been incredibly enlightening, and I'm sure folks are definitely waiting to see how this all plays out. Thank you so much for talking with us.
Thanks for having me.
That's Boston Globe politics reporter Emma Platoff. And that's our show for today. Thank you so much for listening to The Common. Listen, if you have thoughts on rent control, hit us up on Instagram or Twitter at WBURTheCommon or send us an email at thecommon@wbur.org. We would love, love, love to hear from you. I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.